It was a 21-hour day, and the cop would have let me go. And I'm like, "Sir, that's Joe Mazzulla's family across the street. I'm gonna cross the street.
Yeah.
Where's your lieutenant? Like, I'm gonna cross the street."
People love him already. He's got the Rhode Island twang.
The long pass to Moore and a pin block from Martin.
Tune in to Cam's Corner.
He's going to make it here.
Draws the foul for another Rhode Island and one.
A cast his own podcast.
It's good off the backboard and in.
On a break.
All right, we are back, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Cam's Corner, Season 4, Episode 11, Episode 111 with sports reporter and anchor for NBC's WJAR 10, Kevin Moore. Kevin, thanks again so much for hopping on, man.
Of course. Thank you for sending the invite. Happy to do it.
For sure, man. Another Rhode Island guy. I love the Rhode Island ties. That was like the main preface of starting this podcast was people from Rhode Island making it big, doing their thing, and truly, again, inspiring for me to talk to these types of people of your caliber, athletes, coaches, broadcasters, you name it. Like we talked about before recording, from Pawtucket, Shea High School alum. Everyone listening now, too, they know that I start off every show with the same question, just kind of getting the guests like talking about their passion, where they started, how it kind of brewed. So when you were young, when you were a kid, before even high school, college, all that, talk about where the passion just for sports in general sparked for you.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I was five when I started playing football. And I remember I was like the YMCA and I was playing catch with like one of the counselors and I was just catching everything. And he went to my dad. He was like, "Let's go and play football." And then I was like, I wanted to. So I started out playing there. And then my dad would record every game. So we'd go back and watch. And I played quarterback at the time. So that's how it started. I mean, I started playing football when I was five. And then I played baseball as well. I didn't want to believe I was a better baseball player than a football player because I love football. But as I got older, I started to realize, all right, maybe I'm better at baseball. Played basketball for a year. I don't lift weights. I'm into that now, but I'm not a weightlifter. I only played basketball in high school just so I could not do the football workouts. But yeah, literally started when I was five and played football and then not good enough to play D1. They don't want to go D3. So I was like, all right, maybe I could talk about them.
So you were a quarterback in high school as well?
No, running back.
Yeah. So at Shea, did you play baseball and football or was it just football or one or the other?
I went to St. Ray's for a year. I played football at St. Ray's and then I transferred to Shea my sophomore year. I didn't play sophomore or junior year at Shea. I just played baseball when I was at Shea. And then, you know, Dino, or I call him Camp, he found out that I played football while growing up from former players he had. So he was like, "Why don't you play football?" So I was like, "All right, whatever. I'll play again." So it was funny. I started out on like JV playing football. We scrimmaged like Exeter West Greenwich. I scored like four touchdowns. So I'm like, okay, like I had to like earn my stripes again. But then I would play like JV like 3 weeks in a row and I was scoring like every week. Like it was, I touched the ball 20 times, scoring two touchdowns a game. And then I like badly sprained my ankle. And I was like, all right, yeah, I'm done. Like I'm not gonna injure myself wasting my time on JV. And he agreed because he's my baseball coach as well. And the team, they were doing okay at the time. And then it kind of like, they kind of fell off a cliff. But then I played baseball. Baseball is the main sport at Shea. I was center fielder. But yeah, I played baseball at Shea. Center fielder, all that good stuff. And then I played, you know, locally around here. So that was it.
Yeah. And everybody that I've been able to talk to too has like this like amazing, miraculous story on how they got into like broadcasting and reporting and all that stuff. Like the sportscasters that I have on. I don't have that. I was not into, like, when I was a kid growing up, I was not into sports until, like, middle school. So, you know, people that have came on, they tell stories like, when I was a kid, I would do, like, play-by-play for whoever, like, listening on the TV. They'd mute whatever. Like, whatever the stories were, like, all these amazing stories. I'm like, damn, I had none of that. Like, I don't know. Did you have any kind of stories like that, how you got into sportscasting?
I don't, like, a lot of people who are, like, and, like, a lot of people I talk to are like, yeah, I remember, you know, grabbing a microphone or a remote control or, like, I never did that. Mine was, it was in high school where, you know, Monday after full slate of football games, you might have some basketball mixed in. I'm in class and teachers would just be like, "Kevin, shut up. Kevin, stop talking." But it'd be about sports. And then there was a teacher who I had that was like, you know, I can see you like talking sports on TV. I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like, sure. And then as I got closer, like picking colleges, that thought came into my head where I was like, maybe I want to go to Connecticut where ESPN's right there, you know, internship opportunities. So it was as I got closer to college where I started to think of it as a reality, but nothing cool where it's like, yeah, I used to sit in front of a Celtics game and call play-by-play. Yeah. Like the most play-by-play I do is when I'm in the PlayStation party with my friends and I'm just we're share screen and they're just doing something dumb and I'm just calling the game. But yeah, no, it was literally just getting in trouble in high school. Just teachers were like, Kevin, stop talking. But it'd be like I had friends just talking about the game the day before the game's coming up. So yeah, just getting in trouble, I guess, was the cool story of how it all started.
Yeah, and you said you had like a big sports background as well, playing football and baseball. I saw that you've also been a youth coach for the past 7 years. I'm sure you still do that now, but was coaching ever a consideration at that point? Or
no, it was really like the coaching that I did. It was with my uncle, mm-hmm. my uncle, my cousin, my dad. It was a family thing. So it was. Okay. I mean, I loved it. Like I still, if I had time, I'd do it. And I always said, if I ever leave this industry, I'll just be a gym teacher and coach high school.
Yeah.
So it's something that I would do. It's something that, you know, I enjoy coaching kids, especially seeing them develop and everything. Like my little cousin's the quarterback at St. Ray's, and seeing him throw like 3 touchdowns and a half is pretty cool. Cause it's like, I watched this kid develop and everything. And then seeing other kids around the state that are in high school now that I coached, it's cool. But I don't think I would have done it instead of this. Like, this was option one. This was option one, and I had no option B. It was either this or work at Dick's my whole life. I don't know.
So option one, of course, sports casting. Was that, like you said, senior year came around, you wanted to kind of look at your options. Connecticut was a big thing because, again, like, a lot of internship opportunities with ESPN, but staying home in Rhode Island, going to URI. I don't know what the sports programs were at that point. I don't know how they were. I know like now there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of crazy opportunities that I wouldn't have thought were even, available when I first started off at Rick, and then transferred my sophomore year. So, that jump was like night and day from those programs, but, I don't know how they were back in 2015 when you were a freshman, but what was like the selling point? What were they like?
They kind of hated us as like people who wanted to be not hated. That's a strong word. But they did not like the kids who wanted to go into sports media. Hmm. There was a handful of us. So there was a handful of us. There weren't many options. It was like, hey, like once upon a time, this kid interned for WEI, and like you had to find your own stuff. Hmm. And it wasn't until, you know, maybe like my sophomore junior year where they started to like, okay, we have a lot of kids who want to do this. Like half of my most, like 70% of my journalism class was sports media. And it wasn't until like they brought in like Don Coyne and Yanni Caracas where it was like, okay, maybe we can do something. And then while I was in school, that studio that you have now, it was being built. So I got it my senior year. But like they had like a small studio when I was there. It was awful. It was terrible. But then they started to invest. And Adam Roth, I never talked to the guy more than 2 seconds. I don't even think if I saw him at a restaurant, he know what I look like. But he was a big part in that. You know, he pushed for it. But our class were like, we're the guinea pigs. So it's like funny seeing like the kids at URI now, like all the stuff they have access to. Like, I remember we were there, but it's like, we walk so you can run. But I'm not bitter. Like, I'm happy for them. And I'm like, anybody from URI, if I see him, I want to help him. Like anybody. So it's definitely not what it is now. I'm happy that it is what it is now. And I feel like our class had a big part in that. So one day down the line, maybe we'll go back and reminisce, but we're in the thick of it now. So we're just happy to help.
Yeah, for sure. And like, I just saw like their new deal with ABC6. I mean, yeah. Like, or in 1 year, a jump from what we had when my senior year and then to now, it's like it's just getting better and better, which is cool to see because you never know who's going to come out of it. I mean, a lot of great sports casters have came out of the programs, and I mean, my biggest thing when I was in school was, I mean, I wanted to do play-by-play. I still want to do play-by-play, and I know it's early on in my career where I can branch out and still do that, but I wanted to be as versatile as possible and do as many things, even if like the resources weren't available. I still wanted to do it myself. Like this podcast, I started up when I was at Rick and did it and still do it to this day. But what was your mindset as far as that? Was it like locked in with just like reporting and anchoring, or was it kind of just like do a little bit of everything to get versatile and get all those skills?
In the beginning, it was radio for me. I wanted to do radio. I had like a little show my freshman year at WRIU. But I interned with Andy Gresh.
Yeah.
And he was like, you don't have a radio voice, but you have a TV face. It was like, so he brought me to WPRI. And he introduced me to like Yanni, Ruthie when she was there, and Maury when they were there. And Yanni was already my teacher, so I had known him. We were talking about setting some up for the summer. And then I saw that, and then it was that internship there where I was like, okay, I think I want to do TV. I couldn't do much when I was at URI. I just had a part-time job. I commuted, so I wasn't on campus. Like after class, I had to go work. I dabbled in color on some URI men's games a little bit, maybe like a handful. But it wasn't anything. I wasn't trying to be versatile. It was, what can I fit in with my schedule? But I was more focused on the internships outside because, I mean, what URI does, the opportunities it gives, it's amazing. They're great. But there was really nothing like that I could have done there to help me to where I am now, just because the people who, you know, who are doing all the great things, a lot of them, like Kate and Nikki, like they did go roadie, but they only had one spot for that, which, I mean, they're amazing. They are. I'm so happy for them now. Stone dabbled in that a little bit, but the opportunities I had came with like internships outside of school, and then I wanted to focus on with sports reporting. And it all started when I took that trip to WPRI, and that internship I got, and then from there, ABC, and then after ABC, you know, graduated and got a job.
Yeah, so Andy Gresh kind of led the way after your first internship.
Yeah, because I had known Andy Gresh since I was like 5. So my dad used to call him on his radio station. My dad's name was Pimp Daddy.
He had his own spot.
So he used to call in all the time. And then from there, I got that internship. And he was like, why don't you meet me at WPRI at such and such? He does New England Nation. And then, so he got it kickstarted. And then from there, you know. Yeah. Rest of history.
Yeah. So did you have like the opportunities? I saw that your reps, like your live reps came from that show. Like the first time you were able to go live was like reading headlines at the top of the hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have like your first memory of doing that?
Yeah, I actually sucked at it. I was getting roasted on Twitter.
Really?
It was because I mean,
Twitter can be brutal, especially in Boston.
Yeah, I was very. It was Rhode Island. It wasn't Boston.
Oh, Rhode Island. Yeah.
This is when he was. This is when he was WPRO. But I was I have a very monotone voice, if you can't tell. So I was just sitting there, just reading like Celtics play this, that, the third, Bruins this, that, the third, Patriots this, that, and the third, and somebody was like, if this intern does headlines one more time, I'll fall asleep at the wheel. I was like, Jesus Christ. But yeah, no, it was, I only did it once, but the first time, like I asked them questions, it was like a last day sort of thing. And they were like, yeah, but the intern needs some headlines. But I was like, thank God he brought me to that TV station, because whew, if I try to do radio, I would not be anywhere in life.
Yeah. And I saw too, like a lot of, you were kind of in like the prime of a lot of sports down in Boston and in that area, in that time. One of your most memorable moments I saw was when Antonio Brown signed with the Patriots, when you worked with ABC6, you were able to cover a lot of Patriots stuff on your own. So being able to branch out before like graduating and before getting your first full-time gig. But I wanted to know what that opportunity was like run me through that day. And like the first few times you were in like big media rooms where there's just packed around these athletes.
So my first day, interning anywhere, entering at a TV station, was Bruins game 5, first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs against the Maple Leafs. And my first day, like the day before, I get a call from Yanni. He's like, hey, we're a little short. Can you start early in your internship and go to the Bruins tomorrow? And I'm like, I tell my job, I'm at work at Dick's. And I'm like, I'm not coming to work tomorrow. I got to do this. So that was my first day. And like being in a locker room, the Bruins locker room, which was small, and you can't step on the B in the middle of the in the locker room. So you got to navigate that, navigate these small areas where, you know, they're playing Toronto, so Toronto media is there, Boston media is there, national media is there, Rhode Island media is there, and I'm like, whatever. So I get in the scrum with David Krejci, and it worked out. But that Antonio Brown day, I remember what, because I had already been there all through the preseason, summer, and you know, I'm used to seeing everybody, normal people. But when we pulled up, we saw like CNN, like news stations there. And then I'm just looking around like, oh boy, this should be fun. And Bill was pissed that day just because one guy, I don't know where he's from, but one guy was just hammering. I'm like, why'd you sign Antonio Brown? Do you know this one, Antonio Brown? Why'd you do it? He looks at Stacey like, what are we doing here? and then CNN's asking questions. It was, that was the most contentious press conference I've ever been in. And everybody who was around was like, that's the worst I've seen Bill. Like, that's the most mad I've seen Bill. And I was like, well, thank God I was here to see that, because that was a moment where I was happy as a Patriots fan. Like, we got Antonio Brown. I'm like, let's go. And then that was short-lived.
Yeah.
Lasted like a week and a half.
It's like kind of like in a blink of an eye, like it didn't even happen sometimes. I forget that it even happened, but
yeah. And as an intern, you know, you don't want to ask quite like, want to just be there and soak things up. I asked like a question to a player in a locker room, but I'm not bad. I asked Bill Belichick a question. But like, I'm imagining just in the death stare he gives, like, that's a real thing. Like, somebody will be asking him a question and he'll just stare at it, and he will just stare at whoever just asked him that question that he hated.
Yeah,
it was a sight.
When I interned with Maury, Sam, and Taylor, two summers ago.
Yeah, you saw it.
Yeah, like I was in those rooms, and then one day Maury turned to me and one of the other interns and was like, "If you guys ask Bill a question before the summer's over, I'll buy you guys lunch." We looked at each other. We're like, "We're not doing that. Like, there's no way. There's no way. This is my first time. Like in, I was so like offset on like doing reporting and anchoring. I was so locked in with play by play. And then I got this internship because I was supposed to work at 6, and then long story short, like that fell through and I came to 12, and I really realized like being with Sam every day and going to like Pat stuff and everything. I was like, you know what, this could be cool to like, it's like either start off or like have like full time and then like maybe do like play by play and all that stuff on the side. Oh, so yeah. That was my first time really like in a professional setting, especially like Bill Belichick, his last season. I mean, we didn't know it was his last season at that point, but I was like, there's no way I'm asking a question with all these people around, like not a shot. But I did get to do it with Ed Lee when he was in the mini camp, training camp deal that he had. That was really cool. Talked to a few players and he introduced me to some guys. That was cool. But no, I mean, do you remember your first time doing that? Like, we'll jump the gun a little bit, but your first time asking a question to like, in like a professional setting.
Yeah, it was, it was at Patriots, and it was in the middle of like a scrum. And I can relate, like, I can relate to a lot of the guys. It was like just a stupid question. Like, it wasn't anything crazy. It was, it was a preseason game, and Jacoby, like, it was when Jacoby was a rookie.
Yeah.
He had a great game, but he had a run. And he got called for holding. It was a touchdown run, but he got called for holding. I asked, it didn't look like holding. But, you know, what are your thoughts on your just first preseason game? And he answered it like he was cool. But I haven't gotten like a death stare or like gotten, I asked Brad, the most nervous I was that Brad Stevens the question like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I was like, after they won, he had like a press conference, and I had, cause I didn't really go to Celtic stuff, so I don't have a relationship with them. So I was like, let me ask Brad Stevens the question, whatever. They just won a championship. He's in a good mood. So I asked, but I was nervous as hell. I don't even remember the question I asked. But the first time was in like a scrum with Jacoby Myers. So it was smooth.
Yeah. Was that the process as far as looking for a job? Once all those internship ends, you know, you gain the experience. I mean, for one, how useful or how valuable were those internships as far as getting reps and as far as like gaining content for a tape? to put out to employers, because for me, like, the job hunt was tough, and I'm sure for you and anybody that tries to get into this industry, it's tough. But what was that time like, I guess, and what were the kind of feedback and offers you were getting at that time?
So this was right after COVID. I kind of took a year off where I didn't, because I knew nobody was moving during COVID. So this was right after COVID, and I had like my reel together, and I would compare it to like other kids who were leaving college and had internships. And I'm like, all right, well, I think this reel's not bad. And I sent it over to Nick and Ian at ABC, and they were like, you should be fine. Nice guys in the world. I was like, thanks, guys. I'm like, so I started applying. And honestly, like, I applied and I got a message in like 5 minutes from a station in Montana. Yeah. They were like, can you interview like tomorrow? And I was like, sure. Then he like surprise called me at work. He was like, I wanted to see how you acted in a surprise. I was like, oh, brother. So like, that was my first offer. And I was like, I had said yes. And then I was like, something doesn't feel right. So I didn't do it. And then on vacation in Duluth, it was like 2 days later. I mean, I'm getting ahead of myself. On vacation in Mass, I woke up from a nap and I applied to the station in Duluth. And I'm like, I don't know. Something feels right. I don't know. News director got back to me literally 5 minutes. And she was like, hey, we want to do an interview with you on Monday. Is that cool? And I was like, yeah, that's great. Interview Monday. I didn't hear back from them for like 3 weeks. I was nervous. And then the station in North Dakota, I interviewed with them too a couple days later, and they offered me, but they offered me like $6. Like, it was like $13 an hour. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, they weren't lying when they said I was taking a pay cut to go to work my dream job.
Yeah.
I'm Dick's Sporting Goods. So I emailed the news director in Duluth when they offered me. I was like, hey, the station in North Dakota just offered me, but I want to, like, I want to go to Duluth. Like, this is my first choice. So she was like, okay, give me 1 second. GM calls me and they offer me the job. So I'm like, all right, well, I gotta, you know, make another call and deny a news director. He was pissed. But yeah, it wasn't, it's tough. It's really tough now. But there was so much movement after COVID. There were so many jobs open where I think like it aligned. But it took probably like 3 months, I'll say. It took 3 months to, like, you know, get a job, which isn't long at all.
Yeah.
From someone who just got out of school, but it's the real, to answer your question, like, the real really helped. That's the first question I ask. If a kid comes up to me that wants to do sports broadcasting, I'll help anybody. I don't care who you are. If you want to do this, if you want to be a reporter, anchor, if you have a reel, I can help you. If not, like, that's, if you want to do this, that's the biggest thing, is a reel. No, like, I don't think anybody reads resumes. It's what can you put on tape?
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing, that if anybody, you need a reel if you want to do this job, whether, and that goes for play-by-play, color, like anything broadcasting, you need a reel. That's the biggest thing.
Another big thing too I saw was like digital, like, portfolios as far as like a website. I mean, I don't know how much that really helps. I guess it's easier to like just send a like email and be like, hey, this is everything right there.
Yeah.
And it's easier. But for sure, like the reels and the tapes go like a long way for sure. Because like at Rick, when I was first there, I got an internship at the Sports Hub. And I had like nothing. Like, I didn't have any tapes. I barely had anything because the programs weren't like the best. But I was the only person. The people told me that I was the only person that had a headshot on their resume. That like, so they were like, oh, this kid's different. Let's see that. So from that point on, I was like, okay, how can I be different in every aspect? Not put up. You know, I might not be the only person with a headshot on my resume going forward. But like, how can I be different in like every, you know, aspect and kind of just stick out? And like the reel for sure, like doing those internships, like, helped me out a ton. And then kind of similar to yourself too, I had an opportunity out in like Idaho, and I was like,
that's always everybody's first one is always Idaho. My girlfriend was like, that was her same one too, and she was
I don't know, it was like something just doesn't feel right. Like, because I wasn't hearing anything. I told you I wanted to freelance, and I wanted to go like and do play-by-play stuff, and I'm like, I talked to Bill Pito on the podcast, who's the studio host at MSG 150 for the Knicks and the Rangers. You know, longtime vet. I mean, he's done it all from like NFL primetime and whatnot. But he was like, Cam, I wasn't focused on like freelance stuff. I wanted a full-time job. And his full-time job, I forget what the first one was, but he ended up starting with like NFL primetime and all that stuff. Like back in like the 90s, I want to say 80s or 90s. But I was like, that really put it into perspective where I was like, you know what? I need to get a full-time gig. And then that popped up because like I wasn't hearing anything. And I'm like, and maybe I'll just like stick it out. And then I was like, I don't know, something doesn't feel right. And I heard back from the station that I'm at now on the Friday that I was supposed to hear back that if I got the job or not in Idaho. And I interviewed that day and I heard back the same day. They were like, yeah, they sent me an offer like that day after I interviewed. And I'm like, that's crazy. But one, it felt weird because it was in the same day. And then Idaho never got back to me anyway. I mean, they did. They wanted to do an interview after that, after like a 3-4 week process, but I was like, I already accepted Missouri. So
yeah,
I mean, but it was kind of similar in that sense. Like you don't really know, like you have a gut feeling about where you want to start. Like was there ever like hesitation to go out to Minnesota so far away from home?
I mean, mainly just because how cold it was.
Yeah.
But I already made up my mind. I was leaving. Like I had already made up my mind. My first job, I'm going to have to leave. So I wouldn't say hesitation for a job, but that, like, leaving to Minnesota, like, seeing, like, actually waking up inside Minnesota was the first day I was like, what did I do? Like, I'm here for 2 years.
Yeah, same.
I'm here for 2 years, and I'm all alone. I'm like, geez, well, let's ride it out. But it was, if I could do it all over again, I would. Like, everybody there was cool. I love that place. So, I mean, at first it was like, all right, this is real.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Crazy feeling. Yeah. I had the same exact thing. And me and my dad drove up here. It was like a 22 hour drive. And like, it didn't hit me until like I had to drop him off at the airport and I came back home and I'm like, damn, like I'm actually here by myself.
Yeah. First day you're alone. It's like, yeah.
Gotta stick it out. Yeah. I always ask athletes and coaches and anybody I have on too, sportscasters, like one of my favorite questions is to ask like their welcome to the industry moment. So for you, welcome to TV news, bring me back to like your first time where you were like, okay, this is like my job and I got to adjust quick and stuff like that. You were like, okay, this is like the real deal.
My first time was honestly on air, because the person that was in front of me, she like called out on a Friday, like she called it on a Friday.
Ugh.
So I had to anchor the whole Friday Night Lights by myself.
Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine that in a place where
I'm like a weekend.
Yeah. Oh,
so yeah, I have two moments. So is that I messed that up royally. Like I was a copy and vid IDs in like the wrong schools. I had wrong. It was just, because it was a dual station, so like CBS and NBC.
Right, same, yeah.
The NBC sports director was like, just, you know, follow my scripts and we'll get you going and you can go on air. But I don't know, lost in the chaos, I just messed it up. And then I hear the producer, he's like, yeah, I'll prompt for you. It's okay, cool. And he's having a conversation in the back and he loses the spot. So I have to say on air, hey, scroll up a little bit. I'm like lost. I'm like,
Do you have that tape? Do you still have that?
Oh, it's on. It's on. if you go on RS like news, like RS like broken news, it's on YouTube because the director there, like he makes like a blooper reel. He's great. He makes a blooper reel, everybody. So I have a whole bunch of like, he has a playlist for me. Where I just have a whole bunch of like stuff that I just do that's stupid.
scroll up a little bit. That's crazy.
Yeah, you can. I'll try to find it and I'll send it.
Yeah, that's funny.
And then the second one was, it's my off day. And, you know, I'm in northern Minnesota where it's hockey town and it's also curling country. Like the U.S. team that won Olympic gold is from, most of them are from Duluth. So I get a call my day off. He's like, yeah, you're going to go up to Eveleth, Minnesota, which is actually the home of the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. It's about the size of my room. And they're like, you're going to go up to Eveleth, Minnesota and go live, my first live shot at the curling club. for the U.S. Olympic trials. I'm like, okay, curling?
Yes.
All right. So I go up there. My first live, like, I was up there from, like, 10 till 7.
Wow.
And I went live at, like, 5 and 6. I wrote my script at, like, 11 a.m. I was like, okay, well, let me shoot it and then write my script. I memorized the whole script. Like, I didn't look down once. I never done a live shot before, so I'm like, well, I don't know when they're taking video, so I'm just going to memorize the script and go. I did it. I got a text from my news director. She's like, that went great, but you can look down, you know. Like, you don't have to look at the camera the whole time. And I was like, I'm just trying not to mess up anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was my first welcome where I messed up royally on Friday Night Lights. And then my first live shot was curling where, I don't know if you watch curling. There's not many black people who curl. So I'm like, you're sending me to do curling? Like, you're sending me? Okay. All right. But, and then looking back, like, that was great because, you know, I'm not saying I'm great friends with the U.S. Olympic curling team, but, like, getting to know them throughout the 2 years, we had a good relationship, and now I root for those guys. And I like to think I have, like, a couple friends for life from there.
Yeah, and bouncing off of that, talk about how you found your rhythm as far as being able to be comfortable with being on air. Because the first few times, I mean, it's new, it's different, and then, you know, like I said, you get into a rhythm, and like things kind of just flow after that. So talk about when you found out or realized where you can just kind of go with the flow and be like not as tense. Of course, those first few weeks.
Yeah, it was. I got thrust into like. Because I signed on to be the weekend anchor, and then we had some things happen where I got thrust into, like, I was on, like, 3 days, weekdays, from at 6 to 10. And I got thrust in, but the good news is I'm with, like, these people who have done this for, like, 10 years. So they're so smooth, and they help me. Like, I got directors who are Monday through Friday, and my director was great. Like, he let me do whatever I wanted. Like, he was all with creative stuff, like, he was fun. So I gotta credit him and the anchors that I had. And I'm and off the air, I like to talk to the people who I anchor with just because that's when you get that good back and forth, ad-libbing banter and all that stuff. Just because, like, you know, you've anchored with when your first time you're anchoring, you have to, like, you know, your sports blog is done, you have to go talk about, you know, something random, and you're just sitting there just, just smiling. So it was Nick building a relationship with, like, the main anchors off air, and then just their professionalism on air just helping me and so smooth and just easing me in. And then by the time I got to the weekends where it was like my show, I was calm, cool, and collected where I knew, like, what I was doing, and the weekend anchor was my age. So we had a party.
Yeah. Was it a different process applying for jobs after that 2 year stint? Like, was there any kind of different, I guess, things that you did differently as far as looking for, like, a new spot, knowing that your contract's up and, like, okay, I got to either see if I can get extended here or, I mean, I want to go back home? Or what was your mindset at that time?
Yeah, that was, like, the most stressful, like, couple months of my life. Just because, like, I wanted to get back home.
Yeah.
And I applied to two places. Like, I literally applied to PRI and JAR. So, and I told, like, my station wanted to keep me for another hockey season, but I was like, no, I gotta go home. So it was either, like, WPRI, JAR, or bus for me. But I reached out to the news director. So when I applied, I had my reel and I sent it strictly directly to the news director, like, directly to news directors. And then with this job, I sent it to, it was Scott Isaacs at the time. I sent it to him and he was like, they hired Nicole the first time. But he was like, hey, something's going to open up later in the year. I believe, you know, I'll send you the link when it happens. So, you know, I applied like everybody else. He had interviews with other people. And then I got a text from Ian, like, after the second time in, like, early August. Ian Steele at ABC6. Early August or late July. he's one of my references. He was like, "Hey, just got the phone through news director. Congrats." And I was like, so I didn't hear anything. So I was like, you know, I don't know if I have anything. And my contract was up in like 2 months. Mm-hmm. My contract was up in September, and this was like early August. And yeah, so that was stressful, but I got an email and he was like, "Hey, can you," from the news director, he was like, "Can you talk in like an hour?" I was like, "Yeah." So that was the longest hour of my life. But then he offered me the job, and then a huge weight was lifted off my shoulders. One, because I'm coming home, and two, like applying, like as you apply, like when, as you go up in markets, it just gets tougher because the, you know, it's hard to get like your second, third job just because it's so competitive. Mm. And every time I talk to like a news director, they were like, "I can post a news job and get 20 applicants. I'll post a sports job. I'll have people who find my number and they'll text me, like my personal number, and they'll text me like over 200 applicants." Like, it's crazy how competitive sports are. But out of the 200, and this is when, like, you know, people hear 200 and they get a little like scared. But out of 200, 50 people have reels. That goes back, like, a reel is important.
Yeah.
Like 50 people have reels. Out of those 50, only like 20 people are qualify for the job. Like, so it's a scary number, but it's just how competitive this, you know, this industry is. That's why I was just so stressed, because I knew, like, you know, there's somebody out there who's better, if not way better than me. But being from Rhode Island really helped, and that's why I wanted to come home.
Yeah, I hope that's the case for me at some point, because I mean, like, not knowing really what I wanted to do, getting into school and then figuring it out and like getting all the, meeting all the people that I met and the connections. I mean, everybody in the industry is like, one, they're super nice and it's just super helpful. You know, they're going to open a door for you if they see like that you're driven and that you want to really, you know, take it in stride. So I'm hoping that happens in the near future or whatever it is in my career. But for you, when you first got this job assigned to you and you were, you know, on board and knew that you were heading home, this weight is lifted off your shoulder. What was the assignment or like the moment that you realized, like, you know, I'm in my home state, I'm living out my dream, I'm covering sports. Like, what event were you at, or what story were you covering? Like, run me through that. Like, the first time you were like, "Okay, I'm finally doing this back at home."
It was when I walked. So the first time was Friday night, where I didn't need my GPS to look what high school I was going to shoot football. Yeah. Like, I was like, okay. I was going to North Kingstown. I was going somewhere else near URI. And I knew how to get there. And then I saw Nick Coit on the sideline. It's the first time I saw him, and he's one of my favorite people in the world. And he, like, I went up behind him, and I tapped him on the shoulder, and he gave me, like, the biggest hug in the world. And he was just so happy to see me. I was so happy to see him. That was, like, the moment where I was – but I knew I was home. And then I, like, the coaches on the sideline, I knew some of them from just being in the area. And then the first day I went to Patriots, where, you know, when I was interning, a lot of the same beat reporters are still beat reporters. They may have switched publications or stations, but same people for the most part. So it was cool to, like, when I walked in, they were like, "Hey, it's been a while. How you doing?" And then when I walked in the Patriots locker room, Matthew Slater, we had the same barber, so I knew him from when I was interning with Six, and that was like a big running joke. Like, "Did you know Kevin had the same barber than Matthew Slater?" That was just a running joke, kind of like the Chris Hogan. You know, we played the cross. But I saw him the first time in the locker room, and he was like just happy. I was happy to see him. So that's when I was like, "All right, I'm home," and also living at home, like,
yeah,
having to not put rent aside in my bank account was a great feeling as well.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I know the feeling. But most recently too, one of the biggest events you've been able to cover down there so far has been the Celtics, the NBA finals mm-hmm. run, the parade. Was able to see you guys down there. I mean, probably one of the most like hectic days. I mean, as a fan perspective, I couldn't even imagine from a sports reporter perspective. Then you guys came over to us and were interviewing them.
It was nuts.
Yeah, Missoula's and everything. Just run me through that day too. I mean, like, I love hearing,
this was a doozy.
Yeah, the point of views from like those those like the perspective from a point of view from like a reporter or anchor in those like big atmospheres. So just talk about that a little bit.
So there's going to be also like a idiot human side to this too.
Yeah.
Not idiot, but you know, just, you know, we're human.
Yeah, for sure.
That day started at like 3 a.m. Like, I was going down, meeting Nicole there, because we were live in the Sunrise show at like 5 and 6 o'clock. Which I've never done before because, you know, sports, we're not until like 3. But we were in at 5 and 6 o'clock. So they started out smooth. We had live shots. They were fun. Nicole and I just playing off each other, not realizing we slept 4 hours the night before. Live shots are, and then, you know, we got Botog with us. Like, we're hanging out so far, just enjoying what's going to be a great day. And then the engineer comes and he says, "You have your camera, right, Kevin?" I was like, "No, why do I?" Because when you have a Botog, you know, you don't really need the camera. I was like, "No, why do I need the camera? Botog has it." We were shooting the parade, so the camera that Botog had was the camera that was shooting the parade for like the stations we were sharing it with. So we had one camera, but we also had to be live. So that camera we interviewed with, we didn't have that to start the day. So I was like, he's like, "Stop playing around. You have it." I'm like, "No, I don't have a camera. Like, I don't have it. My camera's like at work." He's like, "No, you're kidding." I'm like, "I swear to God, I don't have a camera." And it's like 8 o'clock. Nicole's like pissed, just for reasons that we don't talk about. So she's like, "I'm gonna call," and I'm like, "I'll call." So I call our assignment editor. I'm like, "Hey, we need a camera. We have 2 hours before we have to like be on before the parade starts. So like, we just need a camera." He's like, "All right." Luckily, another assignment editor is there, and he's like, Danny's on his way with it. So, you know, we're hanging out. We're like, "All right, we have time." Nicole and I are in her car cooling off in the AC because it was hot that day. But the roads are closed where we are.
Yeah.
So I'm like, "Danny, call me when you're like on Mass Ave, and I'll run around the corner, get the camera from your trunk, and go." I'm trying to navigate Newberry Street with all these people, all these drunk Celtics fans at like 9:30 a.m. 85 degrees. I'm in pants. Like, I'm hot. Luckily, we get the camera. Everything's all set up, so we have a time to chill. And then we go interview you. The Missoula's with you, thanks to you, of course, with that. And the cop wouldn't let me go, and I'm like, "Sir, that's Joe Missoula's family across the street. I'm going to cross the street."
Yeah.
Where's your lieutenant? Like, "I'm going to cross the street." It's cool. He's like, "All right, go ahead." And then the parade started to come down. We go on air. We hit Frank and Barbara in the studio talking about the parade, like giving commentary. And we have our IFBs and can't hear anything. Like, we're just talking. Nicole and I are just talking. But they want, like, we were fans as well. So, like, I had my phone out taking videos. It was just a wild time. And then it's over. And you don't realize, like, damn, like, my day's only halfway done. Because I had to go back and anchor the 11.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And it was like, it wasn't something like, "All right, can we then do this and go back and anchor the 11? Like, I wanted to go to the parade. So I was like, "I don't care if I have to anchor the 11. I want to go to the parade."
Yeah.
So it was a 21-hour day, but I would do it again. Like,
for sure.
The amount of people that were there I've never seen a parade like that. Like, I've been to 4 or 5, but that was just crazy. But the hardest part was trying to do stand-ups after the parade where everybody's on the street trying to get on TV and just saying the dumbest stuff in the world. So it's like, all right, well, I got to start all over.
Yeah.
I just started bribing people to get away, where I'm just like, "Listen, I'll get you on TV if you like shut up for like 5 minutes." I was lying, but yeah. it was a fun day, but it was a wild day that started out a little scary because we didn't have a camera. But you know, that's this business where you just need a team, and it all worked out.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that. Like being behind people and like just yelling and just wanting to get on TV, and that's tough.
There's a shot of Nicole. I don't know if she has it, but she's like rolling her, like she just
I
looks
think she
so
posted it. I think I saw
she's
that.
yeah, she's tired as hell. And she's like, we're both just gassed. We haven't eaten. We haven't had, like, we went to some coffee shop and had like a sandwich, but we haven't eaten and we're just gassed. But it was, I'd do it again tomorrow
Yeah,
if
it's
I
a
could.
grind. It's like people think it's so glorified when they say, "Oh my God, you're at the parade!" And it's a grind. Like, I mean, I haven't had I'm yet to experience stuff like that, but like I've seen the behind the scenes and being able to talk to you and people of your caliber and everything like that. Like they explain, they run it through like how the day, like a 21-hour day is insane, but.
Yeah.
To be able to say that you were a part of the Celtics parade and all the things that have happened in your career as a whole, it's like, you know, it makes it well worth it for sure. Like that's why we do it, and that's why we're trying to continue to get
Yeah.
better and work the ranks. But talk a little bit more about them, about Nicole and Frank. I mean, Frank was somebody I looked up to as a kid. Like, I mean, he's been in the Rhode Island sports industry for as long as I can remember. I mean, the voice of the Friars and you know, kind of like a role model for me and helping me out as far as that, you know, getting a job and giving me advice. Nicole too, somebody is the same that's, you know, hopped on the pod, gave me advice and stuff like that. So just talk about how helpful they've been to you as since you've been there and your relationship with them as well.
Yeah, Frank. I mean, starting out with Frank, when he called me, I was like, Frank Carpano's calling, like, because
Yeah,
I grew up
exactly.
watching him, and I don't like telling people that just because it like ages them. Cause it's like, so I don't like tell, but I didn't realize like, because I knew like Frank was, you know, Frank's. I call him the Godfather just because you know, you go somewhere with Frank, they like breaks their neck and like looks at him, which he's used to it, but he's great. But like. The stuff that like the people that he knows, like going to like an event with him, like even the Celtics, like he just knows so many people, and it's just like cool just to like see him interact with people, and you know obviously I'm there and he's a gentleman, so he introduces me. So just the wealth of knowledge that he knows, people, the area, like if I need something, he'll be like, all right, I'll send a text, and like he'll help me out with it. And he's also like very understanding, like. He like he's like, listen, if you need time off, take it. Like if you need something off, and he's very flexible, like he's great. He's great. Can't say enough about him. And then Nicole, we're with each other so much. We do like now we do everything. And Nicole is she's really good. Like she's really good. We bounce ideas off each other. We even started watching the same reality TV shows. And we just like we could just talk about anything at any time. And there's I look forward to working with her. Just because I know it's going to be a productive day, it'll be a fun day. And we just get along. Like that's the biggest thing. We get along. Yeah, so it's a great dynamic. It's rare we're in the office together, like all three of us. And when we are, like it's funny, people in the newsroom start to gather in, like, oh, all three of you guys are here. Because they hear like some laughing or something, but it's a great office, and I'm glad that I'm part of it.
For sure, man. Again, I appreciate you taking the time and running through your career with me because, like I said, being able to talk to people like you and athletes, coaches, broadcasters, you name it. I mean, they run me through their schedules from how it started to where it's at now. So it's inspiring for me, and it's a blessing for me to be able to like be able to pick your brain about all this stuff because like again, we're very similar in the same aspect. I'm trying to get on that same path and, you know, just starting off my career. So to be able to get that advice and be able to get like the experience from your point of view and to see how things are and to see how things were, you know, really helps me out. So I mean, not only that, but just taking the time, hopping on Campus Corner, Kevin, I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for the invite. And, you know, obviously, Rhode Island, URI, if you ever need anything, you know, let me know. And yeah, you're in a great spot. Don't, and everything, I'm a firm believer everything happens for a reason. So if you get discouraged one day, just know it's part of a plan. And it'll all work out. So, and I really like, really mean that just because we've all been there. And it'll, you're in a spot that a lot of people wish they were in. And those days where you know work gets they're covering some crappy soccer team in Missouri, where I covered some crappy soccer team in Minnesota. Tomorrow will be better, and then you'll be where you want to. You'll look back at the 2 years in Missouri and be like, I kind of miss this freaking place. And it's all part of the journey. It's fun, so enjoy it.
Yeah, and before we wrap things up, like we talked about before recording, big Rhode Island guy. You said Rhode Island has the best food in the country.
Oh, no.
So I want to know your favorite spot and why in Rhode Island.
My favorite spot? That's tough. My favorite spot? Jesus.
It's too many to pick from. Or your favorite food. I guess your favorite food to eat.
My favorite food, like, it's pasta. Like, you give me some good pasta. I got to say, some of the best pasta I had was Pontevino on the Hill. That's some of the best pasta I've had. This pasta, and I stand by Rhode Island has the best food. Like, how
for sure,
just how many different cultures are here? Where it's like, I'm in Duluth, I'm in Minnesota, and then I'm like, all right, my options are a burger, taco from a place who doesn't want to make tacos, and like wild rice, which is disgusting. I'll die on that hill. And it's like, I go here, it's like, okay, I can get seafood, Italian, you know, Spanish, Colombian, Puerto Rican, Dominican, Jamaican, soul food. Now we have a lot of we have more soul food options, you know, good slice of pizza, which is just endless. But yeah, it's not close. I mean, the only thing that rivals it to me is like New York. Toronto. I was in Toronto a few months ago, and that place, I can't
get like good food.
Toronto is, oh my God, you gotta go. If you love food, you gotta go. But I think the only place that rivals is maybe New York, California. Everybody else, I don't want to hear it. Boston, I guess, because they're right there. But I consider that like the same.
Yeah. So favorite spot TBD. We'll get that.
I'll just say Taco Bell. I'll just say Taco Bell. Favorite spot's Taco Bell.
That's awesome, man. But again, Kevin Moore, sports reporter and anchor for NBC 10 in Rhode Island. Kev, thanks so much again for hopping on. Episode 111 of Cam's Corner. So we're still climbing the ranks, trying to reach 200 now. Again, man, thanks so much for hopping on. We'll see you guys in the next episode of Cam's Corner.